Oh yeah. This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene and Columbia Counties, New York, broadcasting locally on 90.7 FM and globally online at WGXC.org. And this program is The Art of the Hudson Valley. I'm your host, Chad Weckler, and we're in the Hudson studio today with a single guest. I think we can do very well with Sherry in the next hour. This is Sherry Jo Williams.
That's me.
And a little background, and Sherry, you can fill in after I've read this little intro. Sherry is the founder and creative director of the Hudson Plus. Is it Hudson Plus Commercial?
Culture Plus Commerce Project.
All right. See, I should just let you go.
In Hudson, New York.
And you're located at 428 Warren Street.
Right in the heart of Hudson.
What brought you to Hudson and the shop that you, well, it's more than a shop, it's a movement that you've brought here.
Thanks, Chad. I was tired of New York City after many years, and looking for a change of scenery, and I've been lucky. I've traveled for business and pleasure and lived abroad, and I was just thought I was just another jaded New Yorker, and then I came to Hudson with my partner Pauline, who's in Rome right now. Hi, painting. And we came here, and we were mesmerized. We were hypnotized. Hudson worked a spell on us. It wasn't rational. There was 4 feet of snow on the ground. And but we felt very strongly connected to the historic architecture, and I kept running into people that I hadn't seen in 5, 10, 15 years. My background is design. I was a visual director for many years, did product development for Martha Stewart, Bloomingdale's, and so I came here and I saw these wonderful antique stores, and something about Hudson prompted me to revisit what we now call Culture and Commerce Project, a concept, a hybrid gallery store that promotes, develops, showcases emerging designers, in this case, from the Hudson Valley to Brooklyn.
How do you find those craftspeople and artisans?
Well, I had been tracking this huge design movement that's coming out of Brooklyn, Portland, and Seattle specifically, and for the 2 years prior to coming here. And I actually had an injury, so I was sort of stationary and traveling the world with my iPod, my iPhone, and trying to figure out what was next, what was my next act. So we came here, and I had already started a file on Brooklyn designers, and came here, and I'm happy to report we found a mother load of talented woodworkers, metalsmiths, felters, glassblowers. People were coming out of the woodwork. The local people were handing me business cards from Jules Anderson, Rob Williams, local Hudson people, who very talented folks who did not have anywhere to showcase their work. And then it grew, and it's ballooning from there.
Is this the makers movement that you were previously talking
about? Yes, I had subscribed to a newsletter called Sight Unseen out of Portland, and they've been very much supporting the incredible, well, some people are calling it the New American Makers Movement. It's a crafts movement. There are a lot of reasons for it. People are not interested or getting the kind of jobs they used to get. And I know a third generation cheesemaker here, and that she returned to cheese making. And so leather working, cheese making, glassing, glass work, all of these handcrafted skills, many which were lost, are being revisited by predominantly younger crew, and then there are a few who are still persevering. Some of the people I knew from my first gallery, which I had 20 years ago in New York City.
So the makers movement, that's people who make things, the objects that they make, are they all functional art?
Yes, and in fact, more recently, I've begun to specifically describe what we have in our gallery as a gallery of functional art. We show home furnishings, tableware, and lighting, and we have fine art. But often people will come into the gallery, which I like to think is very carefully curated, and it's a beautiful environment. Hopefully you'll agree with that.
I do.
And people say, wow, I love your taste. What is it? What am I looking at? It? Is it Italian? Is it Japanese? Mm. And I go, it's Hudson Valley. And so the functional art aspect, the history of woodworking goes back to Nakashima and Wharton Escherich out of Pennsylvania, which is handmade, high-quality, heirloom wood furniture. And that attitude, for me, is continuing as in a groundswell, to including other crafts that historically weren't considered contemporary or quote-unquote high design, not necessarily high-priced, but with a more of an attitude, more of a contemporary attitude. Mm. This is happening a lot in London, too. There's a lot of handmade furniture and craft in London that's very contemporary, mm-hmm. but handcrafted. So we're doing our own small job here to try and develop, design with, and showcase designers and artists from here. That's Chatham, Beacon, Tivoli, Hudson, and down to New York City and Brooklyn. We have some Brooklynites. I love it when people, tourists, come into the gallery here on Warren Street and they go, wow, this is cool. What is it? I go, well, it's designed from the Hudson Valley to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
They love hearing that.
And right now, is there a theme of enlightenment?
We have an exhibition, our first themed exhibition. We opened just over a year ago, pretty much on the fly. Came to Hudson, supposed to stay a day or two. My partner and I decided we'd stay a week. By the end of the week, we had rented an apartment for me to camp out in. It happened very fast. And then we met with the Chamber of Commerce and Martha Lane and some other folks here who were extremely supportive of the idea that there would be a retail outlet for local handmade design work. And it seemed a nice complement to the 50 plus antique stores in town. And I'm also interested in industrial and reclaiming materials too, which I can get to later. The show at the moment, which is our first anniversary show, I decided to call Enlightened because I wanted to do a lighting show, and we were coming out of the long, dark winter, not so cold winter.
Yeah, that's true.
But we're showing Raphael Avramovich from Brooklyn of Work and Design. David Clark is designing and making beautiful porcelain light fixtures. Mm. He's out of Beacon. Jill Reynolds for Ten Willow is also Beacon. She works in borosilica or lab glass. Joshua Howe is from Chatham, and he has a beautiful chandelier in the gallery. That's kind of where it started. He said, I've designed a chandelier for you, and everything else grew from there. We're showing also a lamp from Rob Williams of Grain Studio, as well as lighting-themed fine art photography by Tyler Goldman and paper collages by Terry Rosen. I decided to include Terry's because her work is delightful.
Mm.
She's in the New York Times today.
All right.
Yeah.
And what is her reason for being in the Times today? What is she talking about?
Well, we're thrilled that two of the craftspeople or artists that we've been working with as of today, we have two who have been picked up by the New York Times for the Thursday design section, their currents, which is where they put their finger on something that they consider is important. And It's very exciting. The first one was Lamachek, which is eco-felted trivets that are made out of felt that used to be soda pop bottles. So now it's kids love that. They're like, what is this, Mom? I want one. And I say, well, it used to be water bottles. And
hard to believe.
The Times featured Lamachek and the trivets about 3 weeks ago. And today, Terry was, the Times has a feature article on her new pillow collection. She's taking her collages, which are made of found paper ephemera, tags and labels and torn bits of laundry, laundry lists, and puts them together in the most beautiful, colorful, often amusing collages. She's transferring that to textiles. She's also designed textiles. So today they're talking about new pillows from Terry Rosen.
How many artists are you currently working with?
Well, I just before we did the Enlightened postcard and thought about how many people we were showing, and I think it was this spring when we were looking at our taxes too, because I looked at the number of people who had made money from the gallery being open last year, and I was thrilled and surprised. They made a little more money than I did, but that's what happens when you go out on a limb with brick and mortar.
Yeah.
And so we opened with maybe a dozen. The gallery had maybe, 10 pieces in it when we opened Memorial Day a year ago. We're close to 40 now.
Wonderful.
That includes the tabletop, the lighting, the fine art, and the furniture. It's a full menu.
What you created here, is it similar to what you had in New York City? And I see that you had a store there.
It's another hard one to pronounce. Cloda is Gaelic. It's her name. She, yeah. Cloda Ross and Williams. I'm still the Williams. My name is easy to remember, and maybe it's Williams like many others.
Yes.
I had been working for Bloomingdale's when I first came to New York City from Paris in the early 80s up into the late 80s. And then basically everyone thought I had lost my mind because I walked out of an incredible job because my entrepreneurial spirit welled up and I was compelled to open a gallery of basically my friend's designs. And I think a similar action occurred 20 years later when I hit Hudson. I was young and impulsive. Cloda is a prominent interior designer, furniture designer now. She just arrived in the U.S. from Ireland. Ivy Ross was a jewelry designer and knew a lot of interesting jewelers. And we rented a space in the East Village and called up my friends and said, bring it on. So in a sense, it is similar. It is also interesting and humbling that I had toyed with the idea of having a gallery again. Many people had encouraged me. And over the many years where I've done consulting or design work, or I was in high-end sales for a while, they said, why don't you do that gallery thing? You do it well. And I said, no. It's too hard. And I, so in that sense, it's a repeat offense. Yes, I'm guilty.
What is the relationship, this is probably more nuts and bolts of the relationship with you and the artists. You have that on exhibit in your store. You do postcards and different forms of promotion. Do you require, or do you ask, or do you actually find that the artists have their own way to also promote what is being seen in your store?
It's interesting. That's actually been a recent topic of conversation because we're in the 21st century now, and everyone is branded. You don't have to have MBA. Between Etsy, which is here in Hudson, which I'm thrilled that they're here. They arrived, I think, 2 weeks after us, so we were first. They're in Brooklyn and they're here. Etsy, Twitter, Facebook. I'm now on Tumblr. I've just recently started posting to Tumblr. Facebook is key. Everybody who makes things, they either have a website or a blog and or an Etsy shop. So that's been kind of going along nicely. Then I come along and realize, I'm old school. I wanted to do something that was tangible. In retrospect, would I have spent my time and money initially prepping the website? Probably.
Yeah.
But there's always a learning curve, almost always. And that one's being remedied as we speak.
But do most of the customers that you have come into the store, are they just off the sidewalk and are just intrigued by what you have in the window and looking through, and they just open the door because there's something that's drawing them inside?
The majority are that. I do know a fair amount of interior designers and decorators, and that's growing because a lot of them, they have second homes here or friends here, and they come, they know that Hudson has cool stuff. They come to look for primarily antiques, and then they stumble on us. So we've done a fair amount through the winter. Actually, we did a fair amount of custom and commission work for both individuals and decorators. The individual artists and craftspeople, some have gotten their own press. We're working with Fern Studio now. They're out of Brooklyn. They moved upstate, so they're local. We would have been able to work with them even if they stayed in Brooklyn, but he's moved upstate. He was in the Times around Christmas. Sam Moyer and Casey Zerlinga, his partner, they were in L.A. They've just unplugged from L.A. and come to back home to upstate New York. So there's an interesting kind of vortex that I seem to be in the middle of in some ways, which is really exciting. People show up at the door, walk in and go, wow, I love your taste. This is beautiful. What is it? It's handmade, locally, contemporary. I use a lot of words to describe, I use certain words, I should say, to describe what our aesthetic is, because it's not just craft, it's contemporary craft, which is curated or dictated by my aesthetic. So I love texture, I love materials, I love the contrast of concrete to felt. I think both those materials are enhanced and enriched and give more pleasure when they're juxtaposed to each other. I have very eclectic taste, but it's sort of minimal with a weird splash of something. Thank you, Terry Rosen, for those collages. we have also, you know, an urban aesthetic, which is kind of interesting because we sell a lot of, we sell, one of the most sculptural woodworkers is a fellow named Jeff Johnson out of Poughkeepsie, and his work is very sculptural, and he works with antique, reclaimed cherry and walnut, and his pieces were so sculptural and they take up a lot of room visually and spatially. So I said, this was an example of a collaboration. I said, what if we put something on the wall? Or maybe he said it. Maybe he said, let's put something on the wall and I'll put a sculpture on top of it. So this piece, I remember the couple, they walked in, and as soon as they walked in the door, I don't know, many years of experience, the look on their face, I thought, these people are going to buy this. And it's not an inexpensive purchase. Turns out, they did. And we installed it, Jeff and I. He drove up from Poughkeepsie. It was a day trip. Picked me up. We picked up the shelf and the sculpture. And then we went to Tribeca. Tried to find a parking place. I had culture shock because I had been holed up here happily. Happily holed up here. And we installed it. And so some of the pieces seem to be bridging an aesthetic gap that even I haven't quite sorted out. People told me originally, you don't expect to sell your furniture to local people. Well, that's been proven wrong, and I hope that that will continue to grow as local Hudsonites and people from Albany to Westchester come to Hudson often. I ask everyone who comes in the door, where are you from? What brought you to Hudson?
I would imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, but for visual artists, painters, photographers, there are collectors who will collect that visual artist. And I would imagine now you're seeing collectors coming in and they like the artist, with furniture or lighting.
Well, there definitely is that client and that hopefully that potential client more and more. The idea of doing custom and commission work too, specifically with furniture, desks, tables. We had collaborated. I collaborated with Dennis Ferentinos here. He's an antique restorer and antique dealer, and he was taking things apart and putting them back together. And we started chatting, and he came up with a beautiful, beautiful desk that we decided we would then continue to try and produce. So the idea is that we would show existing work. We would brainstorm. I also have certain ideas of categories of things that. Do you need nesting tables, Chad? Not at the moment.
Well, you never know.
Yeah.
That's the good answer. Cause yeah. Talk me into it.
Nesting tables, consoles. You know, everyone seems to be looking for that coffee table. So having a gallery has been a little challenging because the people who weren't branded, the artisans, the makers who weren't branded, are branded a year later. And the question, the ongoing question is, do you need a three-dimensional environment in which to go and see this table and buy it? The consensus from the artists and designers has been yes. And the architects, interior designers, and their clients has been yes. We hope to get more volume as we're better known and as all the exciting things that are happening here in Hudson, like Marina Abramovich's Institute of Performance Art, the new restaurant that just opened.
Crimson Sparrow.
Crimson Sparrow. I know those fellows from the East Village where I lived for many years. So I know that Marina's proposed institute, some are calling the jewel in the crown of these art parks like Art Omni, Storm King, and then Dia Beacon. You have a just that was something that really attracted me to this area, especially that a lot of the culture. I mean, our gallery is culture and commerce. You need both. That the culture here is so exciting and so rich between, you know, the Berkshires and Tanglewood and then TLC here and Stage Works. It's just Basilica. I've watched it grow in the year that we've been here. It's just extraordinary. And being in the gallery every day, it's so rewarding to actually have conversations, make eye contact with people, whether they're, wow, we haven't been to Hudson in 5 years, or we haven't been in a year. What's going on here? What's in the water? That's what everyone wants to know. What's in the water? People are like, I want some. People are saying, where should we live? We're looking to rent. We want to buy. We love it here. We love the energy here.
Well, maybe some enterprising entrepreneur will bottle the water and sell it locally.
And we can do it in a hand-blown artisanal bottle. There you go.
Make it unique.
Yeah, I like that. Look for that for our holiday collection.
Absolutely. I think that would be a great idea because the water does taste very good here.
Actually, it does. Your fingers aren't even crossed.
I know. And along that vein, because I particularly like that idea of a lot of the spaces here in Hudson are rapidly filling with wonderful new businesses, and people are moving from one location to another location to get into a larger space or a smaller space. with Marina's Institute locally here. It's a very large space. Basilica is large. TSL is fairly large. Where might we have something new where artists could come together, where there would be blacksmithing, there would be wood carvings, there would be, you know, where you could bring in huge trunks, tree trunks, and have artisans work and weld? And is that something that could be done here, do you think? Is that a possibility?
I absolutely do. I am particularly interested in interactive experiences. I'm interested in education. I taught at Parsons School of Design, and the class at that time was sort of, again, a hybrid. This seems to be my thing, bridging different disciplines. I was teaching a marketing/studio course. We have a gallery/store. People want to know, why is it a gallery? It's an art gallery. It's a gallery of functional art. We're actually in Berkshire Home this month in a listing of Hudson Art Galleries.
Good.
Thank you, Carrie Haddad. That was great that we wound up on the list. And she said, well, do you do theme shows? And I said, you're looking at one right now.
Yeah.
And this is all artists. It's all small production, one-off. Nothing is manufactured. And there are photographs on the wall. And so we're excited that the community is coming together, in this case, the art community, this artisanal community, the maker community. And I'm sure many other of the makers are paying attention to Portland. One might ask, what's in the water there? It's just such a cohesive craft movement, design movement. And they, for example, they had a recent parade, maybe a Flag Day parade, something like that. And the artists and artisans had floats. We tried to put something. I was going to try and do a float for our Gay Pride here, which was a few weeks ago. But happily, the artists and artisans and myself were in very busy mode at the moment. Crimson Sparrow was opening, and Rob Williams was making a table for them. Jules was working on another project. I was preparing for our first anniversary exhibition. So, in answer to your question,
although Ken Polanski and partners, they did some great papier-mâché costumes.
Thank goodness they did that, and I kept hearing about it, and they were just extraordinary, and that was very exciting, because I would have been personally sad if there hadn't been some handmade aspect of our Gay Pride, which was pretty cool this year. It was bigger than ever. I would love to coordinate with Ken Flood in the Columbia County Board of Tourism. I'd love to do once a month some, maybe it's a studio visit, but I don't really see it as a studio visit. I see it more as maybe using part of Basilica or something, where we could maybe in the fall promote, you know, come and see welding. I had talked to Jill Reynolds at Tin Willow. Could she do glass blowing on premises? We have two events here that are very exciting, and I have to mention them. One is Arts Walk, and one is Winter Walk. And when I first came, before we'd even decided to stay, people were saying, yes, please open a gallery, and you'll love Arts Walk, and you'll love Winter Walk. I'm thinking that in the fall, we would try and coordinate and bring together woodworkers and felters and glass blowers to show how it's done. Tyler Goldman is working with a large format camera, I think that's what you call it, and talking about him showing how that works. You know, I'd love to work with the schools here. I just haven't had a chance to do that.
You have the energy. You'll do it.
It's funny. I have so much energy here. I'm so renewed, restored by this little town. It's fascinating because there is this burgeoning of food, music. It's all independent and all coming together. You're involved in music here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And last year, a lot of things happened last year that hadn't happened before. I remember the Wednesday free music at the waterfront. A small thing, perhaps, yeah. But Hudson is closed basically on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And this just made me so happy. And I have big plans for designing with some of the designers a core collection that we would then wholesale. ICFF, the International Contemporary Furniture Fair in New York City, is one of the most important trade shows of its kind. It's just there, 2 hours away. And then you have the
what if we could do that here, just 2 minutes away?
Well, it would be awesome, and I also thought of taking a design truck down there this year. Fresh design from the Hudson Valley.
We got your fruits, vegetables, and furniture.
Yes, exactly. That's it, Chad. I hope you'll help me out with that. So, it's very hopeful, and it seems to operate largely independent of this fickle economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing that was appealing here, is there was still reasonable overhead, and that also was appealing. You know, I'm not sure how long it'll be this way, but when we were looking at real estate, it looked like there was a typo. Like there was.
Well, I think we're going to take the opportunity to have a little break here. We've got a song in queue that's kind of interesting. I like the. The group Kraftwerk.
Ah, Kraftwerk. Very good, Chad. Excellent.
So we're going to listen a little bit of Kraftwerk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that was Kraftwerk and Radioactivity.
It was great.
I know. I have to throw the craft, the work, and the radio all in one song.
You succeeded. That was really deja vu in all the best ways.
And I'm with Sherry Williams here, my only guest for the whole hour. And we've got about 15, 20 minutes left. So we are going to get right back to Sherry, and we've got probably 2 hours of conversation we could easily fit in if we talked really, really fast, but we won't do that. We'll find the cream of the crop.
Excellent. Perfect.
Sherry showed me something during the break, and I'm going to ask Sherry to read from it, and we can discuss a little bit.
Well, I believe in community and sustainability, and those are parts of our mission statement, which we developed. And I'm also a visual person. You'll have to visualize this. It's a poster. It's black with white Helvetica, and it says, "If success or failure of this planet and of human beings depended on how I am and what I do, how would I be? What would I do?" And that is our Buckminster Fuller, from the Buckminster Fuller Institute. It's a big poster that I am always looking at in my home office. Mm. I think it's there's another aspect of Hudson and being out of New York City and being in a place where I can be on a radio show. I've never been on the radio. Wow. And you know, somebody said, "Can you imagine trying to make that happen in New York City?" And I said, "Yeah, I can. It would be a big job and not necessarily possible." But here, it just happened because Chad walked in and we started chatting. And I find that so promising. And I think the trickle effect out from Hudson and from anything that I can do to support local design, local artisans, good design. I'm also, you know, I do have a very high taste level, but
that's important, I think.
It is. Yeah. I have a very, very specific viewpoint that hopefully is fine-tuned from many, many years of experience, and I take great pleasure in watching people's faces. I get to hear wow a lot, and you know, that's very rewarding in and of itself. By the same token, it would be great if, you know, more people knew about us, and hopefully this will help that. Not a Hudson is coming up, mm-hmm. which is, we had the first one last year, right, Chad?
Yeah, the first one was last year, and this one is July 28th and 29th at Basilica Hudson, the whole weekend.
And this is the New Art Dealers Association.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, and it's an organization of art galleries, and they have not a Hudson, not a New York. They have an affiliation with, I'm not sure, some European organizations. Mm. So they last year was very excited when they came that they chose Hudson.
Yes.
And they chose to set up shop in Basilica, which is an incredible building, mm-hmm. One of many really beautiful big old factories.
Yeah.
And so this might be an opportunity for me, along with any of the artisans that I work with, to step out and have open studios or have presentations in the gallery at that time, showing the faces of some of the people that we are working with.
I believe it's very important for the creative people that live and work here to open themselves to new possibilities. And with NADA, everybody said last year, wow, we should be doing studio tours. We should make sure all our restaurants are open, because all the restaurants seem to have been filled to capacity.
And sold out.
Yeah.
And the ones that were open were completely...
Amtrak was sold out.
This year, I think they're doing a partnership with Amtrak. They're
smart.
Yeah. The tourism board, the Columbia County Tourism Board, or some version of that organization, took note of the tremendous uptick in traffic that happened that weekend. So,
and I happen to know that there is a new artist studio that's just south of here, not very far away, in Linlithgow, which is just a little further north of Germantown, and they're on County Route 10, and their name of their facility is CR10. And they will be having a shuttle bus from NADA going down to their space, and I've seen this big, big two-story building. It's absolutely beautiful and a beautiful setting. And if you come to NADA, you should be going to CR10.
That may be a connection that could be fruitful for me as well. Mm. I do know some of the people who are working on that space right now. It occurred to me that a big space would be great to, just set up some big workshops of some sort. I keep talking about a design truck and how to coordinate that to take Hudson Valley design down to the city. So that's another. I like the notion of pop-up shops.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm referring
Absolutely.
To?
Absolutely.
And
do our listeners know what a pop-up shop is?
I'm surprised a lot of people aren't familiar with the term. It's been going on in New York City for quite a while, and it started by default because so many retail spaces were empty and landlords couldn't rent them. And then enterprising folks, often from Brooklyn or other places, would say, hey, what can I have this for a weekend or a month or whatever? And so I've thought about doing a culture and commerce project pop-up in the city. We were actually approached last year. There's a pop-up that happens in the Chelsea Market in the Meatpacking District in New York City. It was too early for us, but we hope to be part of that.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Another part of the sort of visibility aspect of the creative people here, this newspaper I have from Sight Unseen out of Portland features all of the different designers and woodworkers and craftspeople in their environments. Mm. And this is something that I'd like to work with local photographers and, who knows, produce a book or a booklet,
yeah.
Hudson designers, Hudson Valley designers, that sort of thing. Let's see, what else did I want to quickly mention?
I love people with ideas.
Well, I'm not shy. I mean, at some point I did go to a shrink, and now I'm perfectly sane now. But the shrink...
Oh, that's a shame.
The therapist said, well, at the end of the session, Sherry, ideas are not your problem.
Hmm.
And because I was talking about many, many, many different aspects of a thing, I do think sort of three-dimensionally, I wanted to share that we had been invited in March. We participated in another project that I hope to do ongoingly, which is a charity event. And in New York City, they have charity show houses that are very important. And they invite designers, they invite interior designers and individual artisans to do installations. We were participating in the project called Big Ideas, Small Spaces, the Habitat for Humanity, Columbia County show house, which was here in Hudson over on Columbia Street. Dennis Wedlick, architect, is a local architect here. He invited us, and that was really exciting, and we hope to be involved in the Architectural Digest show home in the city next year if somebody invites us. And then we just, I guess one of my final plugs, if you will,
yes,
is earlier, Valentine's Day, Helsinki had an event in coordination with the Hudson Pride Foundation, which was a fundraiser for Valentine's Day, and to celebrate that ladies could marry ladies and gentlemen could marry gentlemen now in New York. Mm. And so we launched our wedding registry at that time.
Oh.
And it seems, everybody seems to think it's a great idea. So I'm hoping that those of you who are listening, if you know someone who might appreciate a unique hand-turned wood bowl or an echo-felt trivet, we actually have a very wide range of tableware and art that could be a wonderful wedding gift or anniversary gift, birthday gift. But I think the assumption to some degree has been that we have only extremely expensive furniture.
Mm.
And in fact, I've worked very, very hard, and I personally love tchotchkes. So.
Is the day of the product catalog weaning, is it too expensive to produce? But is it something that a lot of people want? Is it take away and go home, think about it?
Well, the broadside, I believe, is what this is called.
Mm.
The oversized newspaper format is something that I'm really intrigued in because it has sort of an activist look and feel to it. And I've seen some of that being done. Obviously, it requires advertising dollars, a surplus of funds.
Yeah.
So what happens is that I'm sure there are other galleries and artists and woodworkers who would love to do more of that,
mm-hmm.
and instead the money gets funneled to maybe a new saw or in my case the power bill or something where I would really love to. I like doing postcards, and so we've been making a point of that. And then we have this new guide that the Hudson, the walking guide to the hottest little city on the Hudson, which was, I believe, funded in part or in whole by Hudson Development Corporation.
That's true.
And it's a brilliant little guide, and people are loving it. And it has lodging, galleries. We're in shopping. We decided to be in shopping. Mm. And that's another thing that's brand new and is very cohesive and pulled the community together. So I hope that I can be a leader in the community. I'd love to be involved in any educational project or anything that is supporting local design. I'd like to partner also possibly with some of the young farmers in the area, because if you're growing vegetables and you're serving cheese, you need a cheese tray and you need glasses to drink your local wine in.
Yes. And cabinets to store the glasses, and
thank you, Chad.
Lighting to highlight the glasses on the shelves.
Yes. Recently, a weekend ago, it was about 100 degrees, and we had a woman walked in the door, and she said, she stood outside the door for a long time, and I did what I often do, and I went and opened the door and said, "I'm sorry, I'm trying to keep it cool in here." And she said, "Your things are so beautiful. They're so beautiful." And I said, "Thank you. Come in." She said, "Well, I'm sure it's not made here. I need a wedding gift, and I want to make sure that it's bought, that I buy it from a local shop and that it is made locally." And I said, "Well, happily for you and I, you've hit the jackpot." I said, "Everything in the gallery is made locally." She was so happy, and I gift wrapped a beautiful cutting board for her for a gift, and she bought some other things. So.
And your store is at 428 Warren. What are your hours?
We're at 428 Warren. We have a big green awning. We're directly across the street from the police department. That's sort of the landmark. Mm. I call the 400 block Chelsea, if you know New York City. And then as the numbers go up, that's Upper East and West. And then down where more art galleries are is Tribeca and Soho. So we're in Chelsea. We're in the 400 block. And we are open Thursday through Monday. And Thursday and Friday it's 12 to 6, Saturday 11 to 7 or 8 or 9. I'm often open late on Friday. Sundays 12 to 6, and Monday 11 to 6. We're closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays generally.
Well, you need to recharge the battery somehow, sometime.
Well, I'm wrangling so many artists now, contacting and trying to coordinate. Our next gallery opening will be sometime in August, and I think the title will be Hand Made in New York.
Wonderful. And if people want to check out your website,
it's cultureandcommerceproject.com. It's the word A-N-D spelled out.
Perfect.
And you can find us on Facebook for regular updates and now on Tumblr.
It'll be a new adventure for me someday, Tumblr.
It's fun.
I'm just trying to learn that newfangled stuff everybody's doing. Facebook, Twitter. So I'm glad you are.
Well, I was told by an old timer when I arrived in town, he said, he's an antique dealer, you have a Facebook page, right? And I said, I don't do Facebook. He said, you do now.
Well, I'll take an opportunity now to thank Sherry Williams, Joe, SJ, however you see her, you just say hello. She's very friendly and come into her store as I did and just be amazed by what our local artisans are capable of making, and they are all wonderful. I'm just blown away by the work the artists do.
Well, I couldn't have a gallery if I didn't have the artists, so I want to say thank you to all the talented people who've supported us by showing their work with us and continuing to work with us and bring us new designs, and I'm so grateful for that, and I'm grateful that you invited me to your radio show.
Oh.
Thank you, Chad.
Well, and I'm thankful for WGXC. If you're listening and you haven't had the opportunity to really visit the WGXC.org website, if you have an event, you go to our event page. You can list your own event. You'll see our scheduling, what's coming up. The news section is terrific to see what's happening in our local area in Columbia and Greene County. And
Chad, can I cut in and tell folks what's coming up at 4 o'clock on the WGXC afternoon show? We have some big news with Joe Gallo, the president of the Tin Boat Association, will be in the studio live at 5 p.m. talking about the Fergery Boat Club, which there's a proposed closal on July 16th on the waterfront there, and there's going to be open house this weekend. He's going to talk about that open house on Saturday and preview that. And David Anderson and Nancy Rothman from Walking the Dog Theater will also be in a little after 4 as the Cherry Orchid is opening tonight at PS21, and Terry Hanlon, a filmmaker, will also talk about her movie Meringue Diplomacy, which is being screened in Hudson Friday, July 13th.
That's all happening this afternoon?
That's all happening between 4 and 6 this afternoon.
Wow.
Don't turn that radio off. So keep listening. This is WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you for listening. This has been The Art of the Hudson Valley, your host, Chad Weckler.